This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, in the beginning there was nothing except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the uncreated and the one who created everything and to whom is our return. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala existed and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was on his arsh, and his arsh, Allah said, was on water. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيَّسَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, all of this kind of information is given to you to test you. It is the fundamental basis of our aqeedah in Islam, our creed in Islam, that we believe whatever comes to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which comes to us in two ways. One is as the ayat and the information in his kalam, in his kitab, in his book, Al-Qur'an Al-Kareem. And the second way is through the teachings and the sayings and the explanations of that were given to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Quran and the hadith, these are the two things that are the basis of our aqeedah, basis of our creed. ذَٰلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is the kitab, this is the book in which there is no doubt, and this in which there is guidance for the believers. And who are they? They are those who have iman in al-ghayb. Al-ghayb is the unperceivable. It is not the unseen, it is the unperceivable. Because the unseen can be seen. The unseen is unseen by some people and not unseen by others. Unseen is unseen today, and tomorrow it may become something which is seen, because we develop technology and so on and so forth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability. But the unperceivable is something that is unperceivable, that has always been unperceivable and will always be unperceivable as long as this world lasts. And the only way and time that we will be able to perceive it is when we leave this earth, when in our own death or on the day of judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open those curtains and those doors through which we will be able to see that which is not perceivable today. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the pen and He ordered it to write all that there was to be. And it was recorded in the book which is called Al-Lawhul Mahfuz, the sacred and the protected tablet. This includes everything in creation, and of course it includes also our lives, our risk, our sustenance, and so on and so on. Now, I want to introduce to you two words. Nabi and Rasul. Nabi is common English translation. Nabi is prophet, Rasul is messenger. The understanding of this is that the Anbiya, which is the plural of Nabi, are all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to warn people and to bring people back to Islam. So every one in that role was a Nabi. But among the Anbiya, among the Nabis, Anbiya is the plural of Nabi, as I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected a few who were called Rasul, messenger. most or all of them came with laws. They came with books in different ways, and they came with laws. Among them, there are five who we call the Ulul Azam, min al-Rusul, the ones of high status, the ones of great strength, the great fortitude. And these five, the Ulul Azam min al-Rusul, are Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. These are the five who are called the Ulul Azam min al-Rusul. So all the Anbiya, all the Nabis are Nabis, out of them are the Rasuls. So we can say that every Rasul is a Nabi, but every Nabi is not a Rasul. We can say every Rasul is a Nabi, but every Nabi is not a Rasul, because the basic fundamental first step is Nabi. Whoever is not a Nabi cannot be a Rasul, because he is not even a Nabi. But who is a Nabi? Among them, some Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated their status and made them Rasuls by giving them laws and so on and so forth. Now, why did these laws have to come? Because over time, people changed the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they changed the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so therefore these laws had to be reiterated. In some cases, some of these laws were changed also because of changed circumstances and so on, until we came to the final and the last and final of the Rasuls and the Nabis. As I said, the two are together, and that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our Nabi and our Rasul, who came with the final book, the final law, which is Al-Qur'an Al-Kareem. Now, Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, how many Anbiya are there? Or how many Anbiya did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Anbiya, again, as I said, is the plural of Nabi. How many Anbiya are there, or Allah sent? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent 120,000 Anbiya, out of which 315 were Rusul. Rusul is the plural of Rasul. And out of those 315, there were five who were called the Ulul Azam. Now, what is the evidence that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the last and final of the Nabi and Rasul? Because again, as I said, every Rasul is a Nabi. So if somebody says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the last Nabi, it automatically means he's also the last Rasul, because the one who is a Nabi can only be a Rasul, and if the line of Anbiya has been ended, then automatically the line of Rasul is also been ended. What is the evidence? The evidence is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ahzab, ayah number 40, I'm giving this evidence because this is one of the fundamental principles of Islam. Anyone who does not believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last and final Rasul, we have to believe two things about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One, that he was the Nabi and Rasul of Allah. And two, that he was the last and final of them, after whom there is no Nabi and no Rasul. If we do not believe either of these, then we cease to be Muslim, we cannot enter Islam. If somebody says, I believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a Rasul of Allah, was a Nabi of Allah, but I also believe that after him so and so came and that person was also a Nabi or Rasul of Allah, that belief negates Islam, and a person who believes that is no longer Muslim, that person has exited and left Islam. Now, what is the evidence? What is the proof? In Islam, as you know, the ultimate evidence, the final proof beyond which there is no proof, and if you have that proof, then that proof supersedes and is higher than any other proof, and that is the Kitab of Allah, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Quran Al-Kareem. If there is an ayat in the Quran which is saying something, there is nothing on the face of the earth which can countermand that, which can go against that, which can negate that. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? Once again, Surah Al-Ahzab, number 33, ayah number 40. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ma kana Muhammadun. Allah used the name. Ma kana Muhammadun aba ahadim mir rijalikum. Walakir Rasulallahi wa khataman nabiyyin. Wa kana Allahu bi kulli shayin alim. Like everything else in the Quran, this ayah is so complete in itself. Jami'. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not the father of any man among you, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had daughters and his sons did not survive. But he had daughters who survived, and the last of them, Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her and increase her darajat and fill her cover with his noor. She is the last of them. She survived Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 6 months. And it is through her progeny, through her two sons, Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, Ibn Ali radiallahu anhuma, that the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued in the world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the father of any man among you, but he is the messenger of Allah, he is the Rasul of Allah, and the last, the final end of the prophets, end of the Nabiyyin, Khataman Nabiyyin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever all aware of everything. This word Khatam is means end, last, also it means a seal. So it's a seal of the prophets. What is it? What is the meaning of seal? Meaning that prophethood has been ended and sealed, and nothing else. There are no prophets after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As I mentioned, this is a very important part of our aqidah and our creed. Now, why must we learn about the Anbiya? Why are the stories of the prophets and the messengers, why are they important? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, نَحْنُ نَقُصُ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ وَإِنْ كُنْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. And in Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we relate unto you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of stories through our revelations unto you of this Qur'an. And before this, meaning before the coming of the Qur'an, you were among those who knew nothing about it, who did not know the Qur'an. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهُ فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِي قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرًا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah said, and though they are those in Surah Al-An'am, Allah said, they, meaning the Anbiya, the prophets of Allah, which of course includes the messengers, the Rusul, they are those whom Allah has guided, so follow their guidance. Say, no reward I ask of you for this Quran. It is only a reminder for the Alameen, for the mankind and jinn. So why should we learn? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to learn. Now, four reasons to learn. Number one is to reflect the stories of the Anbiya, the stories of the prophets are not stories as in entertainment, as in time pass. They are stories as in lessons for life, for us to learn from and to practice in our life. So the first reason to learn is to reflect. The second, because this is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, follow them because they are rightly guided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِي. Follow them because they are rightly guided. Number three, to know them so that we can love them. And number four, as role models, because it is essential for us to have good role models to prevent the influence of bad role models. We have got a surfeit, we've got an absolute excess, we've got an overdose of bad role models. Now to counter that as an antidote to that poison, we need to have good role models, and Anbiya alayhimus salam, these are the absolute best of the role models that are possible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned his Anbiya alayhimu salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, وَلَقَدْ بَعْثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. فمنهم من هدى الله ومنهم من حقت عليه الضلالة فسيروا في الأرض فانظروا كيف كان عاقبة المكذبين. Allah said, and verily we have sent among every ummah, every community, every nation, a messenger proclaiming, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and avoid and keep away from at-taghut, which is all false deities, meaning do not worship false deities besides or along with Allah. Then of them were some whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided, and of them were some upon whom their straying was justified, meaning that they continued to deny guidance, so they were left to their own devices. So travel through the land and see what was the end of those who denied the truth. Now this is a very important thing for us to keep in mind, and sometimes people get confused with this, where they say, well, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided or Allah did not guide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides anyone who wants guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not misguide anybody, because if somebody says those who Allah misguided, then what is the difference, if you say this, because it is not the job of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to misguide. Allah does not misguide. If Allah wanted to misguide, Allah would not have sent the prophets. Allah would not have sent his books. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides those who are misguided because of themselves. Because what they do is, Allah has sent the Nabi, Allah has sent his book, but they deny the Nabi, they deny the book, they will refuse to obey, they will refuse to do something. And then those people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves them to their own devices, and they end up in the hellfire. So it is not, Allah does not compel somebody to obey him or to follow the deen, the way of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Man amila salihan min dhakarin aw unsa." Now this is the a beautiful ayat which says, well, okay, if I do follow, in the previous ayat we said, Allah said, go and see what became of those who denied and disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we are going to, let us see what happened to those who did not do that, who obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who lived a life of obedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Man amila salihan min dhakarin aw unsa wa huwa mu'minun فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِي مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and then, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرَانَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ إِنَّمَا سُلْطَانُهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَتَوَلَّوْنَهُ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِهِ مُشْرِكُونَ. Allah said, whoever does righteousness, whether male or female, whoever is righteous, whoever does good deeds, whether man or woman, while he or she is a true believer. So basically two conditions are required. One is that you should believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and two, that you must do good. Verily to that person, to him, we will give a beautiful life, hayatan tayyiba, pure life, a life full of grace, a life full of comfort in this world, and we shall pay them certainly a reward in proportion to the best of what they used to do in Jannah. Right? Not only in proportion to what they used, in proportion to the best, meaning out of a million deeds in the whole lifetime, if they did one thing which was very superior, Allah will give them the reward of all the million according to that most superior deed. Because these million deeds were not all of the same quality. There were some which were of high quality, some low quality. But one of them was absolutely superior quality, which Allah enabled this person to do. Allah will reward them for all of them equal to the reward for that most superior deed. This is the mercy and generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to repeat again, Allah says, whoever works righteousness, whoever does good deeds, whether male or female, while they are believers. So this is important. If you are not a believer, this does not apply. While he or she is a true believer, verily to him we will give a beautiful life, hayatan tayyiba, good life in this world, and we will pay them certainly a reward in proportion to the best of what they used to do in the Akhirah, in Jannah. So when you want to recite the Quran, seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from shaitan, the cursed one, the outcast. Verily he has no power over those who believe and put their trust only in their Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His power is only over those who obey and follow him, shaitan, and those who join partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means those who are mushrikun. Now, this is the basic fundamental principles. These are the principles of Islam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to understand that. What I keep reminding myself and what I keep reminding you is that the beauty of this deen is that anyone who follows it will have goodness both in this life and the next. Islam does not say suffer here so that you will gain something there. No. Islam says enjoy yourself here and enjoy yourself also in the Akhirah. The only condition is that enjoy yourself in this dunya according to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to enjoy yourself. Right? Don't break the law. If you break the law, then that enjoyment will cause you problems in the Akhirah. It will cause you problems in this dunya also, but also in the Akhirah. Don't do that. Follow the law. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you enjoyment and benefit in this life, and he will give you enjoyment and benefit also in the Akhirah. Now, we come to Adam alayhi salam, the first man created, also the first Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told us that he was created from soil from every place on earth. So he is the result of the earth itself. So everywhere from there. Different characters, different colors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam with his own hands. Allah mentioned this, that I have created him with my own hands. In a way, this suits the majesty and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is another thing, that is another principle of the Aqidah, which is that Allah, we believe about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what he told us. We do not interpret that. We do not add and subtract to that. We don't try to conceptualize it. We don't try to imagine it. Allah, does Allah have hand? Yes, because Allah told us biyadil khair, in his hand there is khair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he used the word yad, which means hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he created Adam alayhi salam with his hands. So does he have hands? Yes. What do they look like? We don't know. We don't say Allah does not have actually hand. Hand means the power of Allah. No. Allah said hand means hand. Allah also talked about his power. So there's no need to take this and interpret it as that. And secondly, we do not put our minds to saying how does it look like. So bila kaif, we don't say how. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said on the seventh day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised istawa ala arsh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rose onto his throne. What is the meaning of rose? Is Allah sitting there, standing there? We don't know. We know that Allah made istiwa. What is the meaning of istiwa? We don't know. We accept it as it is. And this is a basic principle. So how did Allah create? What did he do? Did he take all the soil? Did he put water in this? And then did he make it into a paste? And did he do this? No. We are not going into all those details. It is not our job. If all of this was important, Allah would have told us. We just know this is what happened. Allah took soil from all over the world, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam with his own hands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then also said that Adam alayhi salam was created in his own image. Now please understand this. Adam alayhi salam was created in the image of Adam. What is the image of Adam? Who was Adam? Adam alayhi salam was supposed to be a full-grown human being. So Adam alayhi salam is the template. Right? He's a template. So Adam alayhi salam, when he was created as a full-grown man. The moment he opened his eyes, he was a full-grown man. Adam alayhi salam did not go through the changes of being an embryo, and then a fetus, and then a child, and then a youth, and then an adult, and then he didn't grow old, and he did not go through all these changes. In your case and my case, there are some changes which happen in the womb of our mothers. There are other changes which happen to us as we grow. If you take a series of photographs of mine from my youth to this time, obviously there will be some resemblance. You might be able to recognize me, but there will be a huge amount of difference between how I looked when I was 5 years old and when I was 20 years old, and so on and so forth. Same thing for all of us. This did not happen to Adam alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam was created in his own image. Now this is where our Christian brothers and sisters got confused. As they said, when they say Adam was created in his own image, they thought his refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said that Adam was created in the image of God. No. Adam alayhi salam, Adam was created in the image of Adam. Adam alayhi salam was created in the image of Adam alayhi salam. Why would Allah need to create a creature to look like himself? For what? It's like saying that the carpenter made a table to look like himself. Does the table look like a carpenter? No, the table is a table. And the creator therefore has the ability to create whatever he wants, in whichever way he wants, wherever and however he wants. This is the power of the creator. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam in the image of the template that he was himself was a template. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a template called, template for all of humanity called Adam alayhi salam. And from him he created, from the, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he created Hawa alayhi salam from the rib of Adam alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Hawa alayhi salam from the rib of Adam alayhi salam. Now how was she created? She was created as a full-grown adult female. She also wasn't a little baby girl and so on and so forth. She also was a full adult, full-grown, mature adult female. Right? And this is all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who were the parents of Adam alayhi salam? Nobody. Allah made him. Who were the parents of Hawa alayhi salam? Nobody. If you want to say, where did she come from? She came from Adam alayhi salam. So in a way, manner of speaking, the within quotes, the mother of Hawa alayhi salam was a man called Adam alayhi salam. If you want to say mother is that, this is the one you came out of. But obviously, Hawa alayhi salam did not come out of Adam alayhi salam the way you and I came out of our mothers, because Adam alayhi salam did not have a raham. He did not have a womb in which Hawa alayhi salam, her fetus and so on grew. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just took a rib and he made her, and so she was a full-grown adult female. And this is the beauty and glory of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blew the soul into Adam. And there again, Allah did not blow himself. Allah blew the soul which he created for Adam alayhi salam. So the body is material from the earth and will return to earth. The soul is the secret of life. And it is that which gives life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this whole thing of creation. Minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra. In Surah Taha, Allah said, thereof, that is from the earth we created you, and into it we shall return you, and from it we shall bring you out once again. So this is the story of Adam alayhi salam. We see a reflection of this, for example, between the when Musa alayhi salam had this confrontation with the magicians of Egypt, the snakes of the magicians of Egypt were illusions, right? They were illusions. And the snake of Musa alayhi salam had life. It was a real animal. The magicians immediately recognized what was happening and they immediately accepted Islam, because the magicians had no power to give life. All that they could do was to create illusions, whereas Musa's stick was under the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gives life, and so therefore Musa alayhi salam's stick became a snake. Now when the soul was blown into him, Adam alayhi salam sneezed and he said Alhamdulillah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said Yarhamak Allah, may Allah's mercy be on you. He said, all praise and all thanks be to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied and said, Yarhamak Allah, may Allah's mercy be on you. So the first thing that was told to Adam alayhi salam was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his mercy to Adam alayhi salam. Okay? So this is the this is the beginning of Adam alayhi. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, go and greet those angels who are sitting there with salam. So he said to them, assalamu alaikum, and they replied, wa alaikumu salamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said to him, this is your greeting and the greeting of your descendants, may peace be upon you. And this is therefore our greeting, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May peace and protection and security, salam, it means many things, be on you. Wa rahmatullahi and the mercy of Allah, wa barakatuh and blessings, and the reply is the same thing to you. Wa alaykumus salam, and on you also be peace and security. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and blessings from him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, afshu salama baynakum, spread salam amongst you. And this is the fundamental principle that we have of Islam, which is to spread salam between ourselves and between each other. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to help us to learn this deen and to practice this deen and to benefit from this deen, as it is our, this is the most beautiful treasure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.